The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. And one great source of information for you guys is Facebook. I will often hop on and just do like a quick Facebook Live. Sometimes it's just some really awesome finds that I got at the grocery store. Sometimes it's about immune boosting protocols. It's really all across the board. Amazing things we're doing, not only in the office, but to help serve the community. But overall, you know, our goal is to look at transformation of overall health. And so when we talk about what that means, we really dive down into the five essentials. One is your nervous system, right? Your brain, stem, and spinal cord are what control every function in the body. We have to talk about mindset. It's so interesting that stress is such an intangible object, right? And it's also you can kind of measure it with cortisol, but it's not something that individuals often do. But then too, really, really diving down deep to figure out nutrition. You know, we look at, as we kind of transition into our society of just fearing viruses and illnesses and sicknesses, you know, how much nutrition comes into play with that. Detoxification, as well as oxygen and lean muscle. And this is what's really cool. Today we're going to talk about vegetarian and vegan and what to watch. If you are a vegetarian or if you're a vegan, we're going to talk about common nutritional deficiencies. And then I would like to debunk some myths about meat, red meat especially. Though I know a lot of individuals are vegan or vegetarian because they don't like the process of how meat happens. I'm not going to talk about that, but there are other people who think that, you know, oh my gosh, I watched this documentary and I found out that red meat is just the devil and it's causing all of this illness. And there is a lot of research that debunks that. So I'm going to talk just shortly about that. But I did want to share this. I was talking to a mom in the office more recently, who is really, really excited to kind of learn more about the principles of health and healing in our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. You know, what was so awesome is that she was talking about getting her fresh one-year-old kind of checked, evaluated to see, right? Because again, what we do in the office with chiropractic, it's, yes, we work on headaches, neck pain, and back pain, but it's so much more than just headaches, neck pain, and back pain, right? And I was sharing with her a story that I had actually shared with a family member more recently is when I was introduced to my husband's side of the family. There was a baby, just a couple months old, who was there at like a family gathering for the holidays. And they said, oh my goodness, you know, this poor little boy, a couple months old, has an ear infection. I'm like, okay, now I'm new to the family. So I just zipped it. You know, there's only so many. I was like, I got decades to make waves. So let's not do a cannonball into the family. So I I just kind of listened, and the fever didn't go away after this antibiotic. So we brought him back to the doctor, and we said, oh my goodness, you know what? I bet you that antibiotic wasn't strong enough. So what they did is they gave him a second, stronger antibiotic, and they said, that one's really not working either. And in my brain, I'm like, that ear infection is probably viral. It is very common. Majority of ear infections in pediatric populations is really viral. What we know is that an antibiotic doesn't do anything for viruses. So, but it all kind of presents the same, right? Pulling at the ear, red swollen eardrums, crying fever, all the stuff, right? And so we'll back pediatricians, unfortunately, into a corner. You would think as a doctor, you say, hey, this is my recommendation. But they say, I'm not leaving here without an antibiotic. And if you don't give it to me, I'm just going to go to a different doctor to give me an antibiotic. Because in our mind, right, we want like, what's the problem? What's the solution? We say the problem's an ear infection, the solution's an antibiotic. So if you have this well-educated doctor who says, hey, here's the problem. It's an ear infection, though it's likely viral, an antibiotic isn't going to do anything except for destroy the gut health and, oh, by the way, lead to exponentially worse increase in terms of asthma as they age. Mom says, so you're not going to give me anything? And it's just unfathomable to individuals often. So, but in my mind, I was thinking, oh my gosh, like this child has a viral ear infection. And I kind of was talking to my mother-in-law more recently, who's under care at another office in a different state that's a similar Max Living Health Center office. And I said, you know, it was just that time that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for these families that I have in the office. The cool part is that that family member is now under care and her kids, are doing so great and they're so much healthier and they're living such a better quality of life. But, you know, I have two little kids, both under the age of 4. And so what's interesting is that I look is that, you know, my kids have been sick. You know, living the five essentials doesn't mean you're just immune to ever getting sick, right? Like it's so above you. Our kids still get sick, but, you know, my kids have never been on antibiotics. And so it's just one that the way that we manage the duration of illness is different. The severity of the illness is often different. How we approach it is often different. You know, and though my kids are rambunctious, wild hellions, like they're still okay, right? Like at this point, I'll keep them for at least the next couple years. No, I'm just kidding. But I do love them. But I do think it's one where I think, gosh, I was such a sick kid growing up. And I look at the different quality of life that I lead. And I'm like, I want that for everyone in the office, whether they be, you know, 2 years old, 4 years old, 20 years old, or 40 years old. Like we all deserve to have that quality of life. And that's really what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So before we get into some health deficiencies of vegetarians and vegans, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's Health in the News, comes from Washington sources. Vegetarian or vegan, watch your bone health. So they talk about vegetarian diets are typically thought as wholesome. However, new analysis suggests that they could have a big danger, an elevated likelihood of bone fracture. So between 1993 and 2001, British researchers collected weight reduction plan, well-being and behavioral information of about 55,000 individuals, common age 50. They categorized them by weight reduction plan. So of those, about 29,000 were meat eaters, 8,000 who only ate fish, however, no meat, 15,500 vegetarians, and about 2,000 vegans who ate no meat, fish, dairy, or eggs. Right, so vegan, if you don't know, is no animal and no animal byproducts. So if it's produced by an animal, so say, for example, though a bit debated, vegans don't eat honey because they're created by bees. They don't eat eggs because they're created by chickens, right? So any product that comes from an animal, they don't consume. So they adopted them over a median of 18 years, monitoring the quality and placement of fractures. The study that was published in BMC Medicine managed for their bodily exercise, smoking, alcohol consumption, dietary complement use, different elements, and they contrasted them with meat eaters. So vegetarian had a 9-point elevated danger in any sort of fractures, where vegans had a 43% elevated danger. Vegetarians and fish eaters only had roughly 25% elevated danger for hip fractures, and the chance of hip fractures in vegans was greater than twice of that of meat eaters. Dangers for leg fractures were 80% greater in vegans than in meat eaters. The association between weaker, however nonetheless vital, changes for protein and calcium consumption. So it just got me thinking that we have a lot of people in the office who are vegetarian and vegan, and though we know that there is a source of deficiency that comes with those dietary choices, it's figuring out what are they. So if you choose to make that decision, what you can do to make sure that you are fulfilling all your cellular needs. And so there are four main components, and we'll talk about what they specifically are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Now, today, if you are vegan or vegetarian, or you know someone who is, right, people ask me my thoughts about it, and I don't have thoughts. I think a lot of it is a personal preference. There are some people who don't eat meat because they don't like the taste of meat. Some people who don't eat meat because they don't like the process of how we get the meat. And there are other people who just do it from a health component. So really, I'm going to speak a little bit just to kind of a health component. Here's my thought process when we talk about nutrition, because there's a lot of diets and nutritional changes and things. And I mean, we ourselves even have some that are like a little bit alternating. So, there are a lot of like diet or nutritional fads or things that we go through. And some I think are better than others. Some have individual qualities, like, for example, keto was originally designed for individuals with seizures. They found it was really, really effective to help reduce seizures in individuals, right? Though that being said, I always look at, like, can you sustain it without nutritional deficiencies for long term? And that is really where I look at, you know, if we have something where we're like, hey, you've got to cycle in and out of this, you know, diet, then is it something that's really, truly sustainable? And what the other thing too, and she wasn't really happy with me when I went through this. I had a girlfriend who was in in chiropractic school who was a vegetarian, and she wasn't really a vegetarian. She was a carbitarian. So she's like, oh my gosh, right? I don't eat meat, but like, here's cheese pizza. And oh, by the way, Oreos are vegan and all of these things. I'm like, oh, this is not good choices. You know, she'd have a salad every once in a while. And she's like, see? And I'm like, it doesn't outweigh it. But I had an individual who came in, interestingly enough, and, you know, she had been a vegetarian for years, and when we kind of broke down, but she was starting to go through blood work, and her cholesterol was high, and her blood sugar was high, and she was like, I don't understand, like, she wasn't the standard carbitarian, right, quote unquote, but she noticed that slowly her blood sugars kept creeping up. And we said, okay, well, let's talk about, you know, what you're consuming. You know, she's like, for dinner, I just have rice and beans, both are rich carbohydrates. They turn into sugar, you know, during the day. She kind of like walked through all of that she was eating, and it was like carbohydrate, 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 carbohydrate. And there were some proteins in there, but unfortunately with a vegan and vegetarian, proteins, oftentimes they don't have all of the essential amino acid. They'll have some of the essential amino acids, but not all of the essential amino acids, which is typically where you see deficiencies. So one of the first deficiencies we're going to talk about, and I feel like is one of the more well-known deficiencies, is vitamin B12, also known as cobalamin. So this is a water-soluble vitamin that has a lot to do with the function of the nervous system and the brain and the forming of blood. So it is very, very common. And I would say that's probably, like I said, the most well-known deficiencies of vegan and vegetarianism is B12 deficiency, because of the fact that it's found in the highest amount in animal foods. So this is one where we say, hey, you can supplement for it. But what I really wanted to break down is what this affects, right? So when we talk about B12, and here's the other really interesting part, B12 deficiencies is thought to be one of the leading nutritional deficiencies in the world. A study in 2004 actually showed that a major health concern in most of the world, including US, India, Mexico, Central America, South America, and certain areas in Africa. So what does it do? So this essential nutrient affects your mood, your energy level, memory, heart, skin, hair, digestion. I think B12 is most known for energy, right? Because people are like, oh, I need B12 for energy. Really, you need all B vitamins for energy. Here's the other thing. It is also a very essential vitamin for addressing adrenal fatigue, improving anemias. So, you know, most people don't realize that you need B vitamins to absorb iron. Simple metabolic functions, enzyme production, DNA synthesis, hormone balance. Right. So it is not uncommon to see a lot of individuals who have been long-term vegetarians that have more hormone. I mean, it could be across the board. You can have hormonal imbalance, but maintaining cardiovascular systems, nervous system health. Right. So that's where you'll see a lot of people with a deficiency can lead to a range of symptoms, from chronic fatigue to mood disorders like depression, chronic stress, or feeling run dry. So when we look at those B vitamins, all right, so where are they coming from? Oh, this is actually really what I want to talk about. Signs of deficiency, because we just think chronic fatigue. Right? Chronic fatigue is our go-to. Oh, if you're really tired, you probably need B12. But really, that is one of them. Joint pains, muscle aches and weaknesses. Here we go. Difficulty and shortness of breath, feeling dizzy, poor memory, inability to concentrate, anxiety and depression, having abnormal heart problems such as palpitations, poor dental health, including bleeding gums and mouth sores, digestive problems like nausea, diarrhea, cramping. Oh my gosh, like how many people have that? Do you know? They're like, oh my gosh, my heart does this thing. And we go to the cardiologist and all of this stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, it could just be a simple vitamin deficiency, right? Like, yes, you could have a heart problem. That's why we have doctors. But so where is this food best source? Like this vitamin best source in terms of food? Organic grass-fed dairy products, cage-free eggs, grass-fed meat, wild-caught fish, organic poultries, and organ meat. right? Those are highest. Which, obviously, if you are vegan or vegetarian, you cut a lot of those out. So here's what I would tell you if you supplement. Because at this point, if you say, hey, I'm not going to do any of those things. You know, if you're just vegetarian, oftentimes you'll still do eggs. You have to increase some of your egg consumption. Figure out how you can increase that a little bit. But here's the main thing that I tell you is that, one, I would take a whole spectrum, not just B12, but really look at all of the B vitamins. But then two, the other thing is you need to make sure that it is methylcobalamin, not cyanocobalamin, when you do supplementation. It is very common that we just grab the cheapest supplement, right? Like, why would I pay more for this supplement over here when I can get the same 30-day supply over here for half the price? Because you're getting synthetic vitamins. And so you are exactly getting what you pay for. You are exactly getting what you pay for. You are getting cheap synthetic crap, right? That's it. And but you pay half. So that's awesome, right? And you're like, well, it didn't work and I'm still deficient. You are, because cyanocobalamin is literally, they attach on to cobalamin, a derivative of cyanide. And they say, hey, you know what? It's honestly in such small amounts that you're really not going to be affected by it. But structurally, it looks just the same as methylcobalamin. Methylcobalamin, you want to get methylated B vitamins. They're already broken down. And ours specifically have a time release. Right? B vitamins are something you take every day. They're a water-soluble vitamin, so your body will use what it needs and gets rid of the rest of it. So oftentimes you see, like, you know, darker urine or neon urine, and you say, oh, I'm just urinating my vitamins away. When in reality, your body is going to say, hey, I'm going to use what I need. I'm going to get rid of the rest. So this is where pregnancy has been really interesting to me, because I supplement with additional B vitamins while I'm pregnant. And so when I go through pregnancies, there are times that, you know, my urine might be very colorful, and other days that it's not at all. And in my mind, I'm like, did I take that? And for whatever reason, on a cellular level, I will not know. But my body is utilizing more of that and it's not releasing it. And so I'm like, how interesting is the human body? So B12, right? So the other deficiency that we look at is calcium, which kind of stems from the Health in the News article about deficiencies in bone health. So when we think of calcium, the first thing we usually think about is bone health, right? Benefits. But the benefits are far, far beyond just bone health. Now, when you have hypo, so hypo is under, hyper above, hypo under. Hypocalcemia, it's a deficiency in calcium. What you'll often see is brittle and weak bones that are more prone to fractures, which in that article they really talked about vegetarians and vegans are more prone to fractures. They talk about abnormal blood clotting, weakness, and delays in child growth and development. So when we talk about calcium deficiency, calcium is most abundant mineral in the human body, and it's actually stored in bones and teeth. So 99% of your calcium is found inside your skeletal structure and dental structure. Interesting fact, I had a patient who was pregnant previous to the office, had very poor nutritional health. And while she was pregnant, the baby needed calcium and literally stole them from her teeth. So her teeth, for like lack of better terminology, were like chalky. Like it literally sucked all of the calcium from her teeth. So her teeth, they were like this brittle, dried, like chalk. That's like, ugh. But here are some common symptoms when you have a calcium deficiency is obviously the weak and brittle bones. But problems with proper blood clotting. This is, again, where one of the most common symptoms of calcium deficiency actually is muscle spasm and cramps. I feel like most people don't really know that. Another one, too, when you're like, gosh, why is my face like this? And I'm talking about face twitching. That oftentimes can be a calcium deficiency. Numbness and tingling, pins and needles, irritability, heart problems, including blood pressure, slowed heartbeats. And the reason why is because it actually has to do with muscle contraction. So here's what we look at. So foods high in calcium, right? So where do we source this from? And then how, if we are vegan or vegetarian, how do we go about looking at this? So one is sardines. There's only one type of sardines. It's King Oscar red container olive oil. It's the only one I'll eat. It just tastes like fish. So they're not like fishy like anchovies. Number two is yogurt or kefir. So this might be something more along the lines for someone who is who's not vegan, because they'll some vegetarians will do dairy. Raw milk, cheese, kale, okra, bok choy, almonds, raw broccoli, and watercress are the food highest. Here's what's interesting is that magnesium is key to calcium absorption. So it's oftentimes a magnesium deficiency can be a precursor to calcium issues later. So again, this is one where, you know, you're like, this is where a whole diet is important. You know, you say, well, I am vegan or vegetarian, and I am having a lot of okra and almonds and raw broccoli, but you have to have a lot of it. But when you look at a magnesium deficiency, that's something where you're like, okay, well, why would we supplement in? So what are some of the fruits and vegetables that are highest in calcium and magnesium? Leafy greens. Now, this is one where some of these vegans and vegetarians, some people will have more leafy greens like spinach and Swiss chard, and others don't, right? They've found where they can do this alternative meat-free diet, but just because it's a meat-free diet doesn't mean you're eating a lot of vegetables, right? I think that's the big component. Just because you're eating a meat-free diet doesn't mean what you're eating is healthy. Doesn't mean you're eating more vegetable because you stopped eating meats. Almond, sesame seed, dairy products, and fish. Salmons, sardines, and tuna. So, and this is one where I don't necessarily agree that calcium best source is from milk, because truly, we don't do a whole lot of dairy in our house. My kids have never had cow's milk, minus the time I tried to get them to drink raw milk. It did not go over well. That's unfortunate. So you can add in dairy, but what we do is like we will do goat milk. You can find calcium in other things too. Like I'm not going to get my 2-year-old to necessarily eat a bunch of sesame seeds, but we do add in some almonds. We do have leafy greens. He's not going to eat a whole salad, but even adding ingredients like chia seeds. Chia seeds are high in calcium, omega-3s, iron, right? So like I sneak chia seeds in anytime I can. Almond flour pancakes or waffles, chia seeds. Egg banana pancakes, chia seeds. Like those kids get a bunch of chia seeds. Now, in terms of calcium supplementation, that is one that you really, again, have to be careful with, just because most of the supplementation that you get, the type of calcium that in there is not bioavailable. So it says, you know, whatever milligrams of calcium on there. And again, it's not what you take. It's what you assimilate. It's what you absorb. So most of those, your body's like, this is foreign. I can't absorb this source of calcium. It comes from rocks, seashells, and it just makes it, you know, it's like, what do I do with all this extra calcium? And it stores it in places it's not supposed to, like your kidneys and calcium-based kidney stones, right? Welcome to kidney stone heaven, friends. So we have a product in the office that has MCHC, which is microcrystalline hydroxyapatite concentrate, also known as MCHC. But it's just basically an absorbable crystalline compound that's comprised of naturally occurring components of the bone, which has natural occurring calcium, phosphorus, and trace minerals, bone growth factors, collagen, and other vital bone proteins. So it's designed to help support bone mineral density. So when people say, hey, what's a good source of calcium? It's not necessarily calcium, but it's a good source there. You know, but anytime you can get in more leafy greens and like we're looking at this concern when in reality, like now is the time. The younger, the better, too. You know, we go through all of these bone building processes, and then I have someone who's like in their 70s who says, hey, I've got weak bones, and what should I do? Oh, boy. All right, well, let's see what we can do. But, you know, at 70 years old with those weakened bones, it's just we've got to do our best with what we've been given. But the more natural we can get, the better. If we can get these things through our diet, but if you're not getting them through your diet, then you've got to start supplementing. Now, when we come back, there's two more most common deficiencies of vegan and vegetarian, and we'll touch base next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com.
I don't need money or a shiny treat. As long as you sit right next to me, let's sing it out like we were yet. Merry, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not hating on vegans or vegetarian. It's just one that if it's a lifestyle choice that you want to make, my goal as a doctor is to educate you to make sure that you understand that with those nutritional choices come deficiencies. And oftentimes if people do it short term, right, 30, 60, 90, 120 days, you're not going to see as detrimental of an impact to the health in terms of signs or symptoms of these deficiencies because our bodies can work off reserves for a while. The problem is that when we do it longer term, that's where the deficiencies kind of are a bit more evident. And that's where we show more signs and symptoms. So this is one that if you're like, hey, I'm vegan and vegetarian, I'm all for it. Regardless of what health choice you make, it's not my job to tell you what to eat. Well, my job is not to tell you what to eat and what to not eat. My job is to tell you that if this is what you're eating, here are some of the effects that it may have, right? Hopefully that makes sense. So we talked about B12, cobalamin. We talked about calcium. Next one is omega-3s, right? So are vegans more at risk for omega-3s? And so, same thing with vegetarian. I know there's like pescatarians who won't eat meats, but they'll eat fish. So I know that there's like levels and layers. And so what does that look like? Let's talk about omega-3s. Omega-3s, we know, are typically we get from fish. So they're healthy fatty acids. So they actually looked at a study of British men, and they looked at omega-3 levels of meat eaters, vegetarians, and vegans. And they like the different types of omega-3s. So here's where we kind of have to do like a little bit of a breakdown. So there's EPA and DHA. And EPA and DHA are the most important forms of omega-3 fatty acids. And they're actually usable and utilizable inside of the body, EPA and DHA. And what they found was that plasma, so in the blood, EPA and DHA were lower in vegetarians and in vegans than they were in meat eaters. What this means is that vegans eat a lot of linoleic acid, also known as LA. And so oftentimes in our mind, we say, well, this is a good source of fatty acid. The problem is it's not a great form of omega-3s just because your body has to go through the process of converting LA into EPA and then DHA. But the problem with that is that a very small amount, about 15%, only 5 to 15% of things like LA or ALA, alpha-linolenic acid, actually are moved from that source and converted into the DHA and EPA. So basically your big takeaway, besides a lot of letters and some boring statistics, are that the sources that we eat as vegans or vegetarians don't convert into EPA and DHA, which are so vitally important. Most notably, moms. So if you're vegan or vegetarian during pregnancy, low maternal DHA increases the risk of impaired visual and neural development in kids. Low levels of omega-3s can cause behavioral problems in children, ranging from temper tantrums, sleep problems, concentration issues. And low levels of omega-3s have been linked to neuropsychiatric brain diseases, most notably depression. There was actually a really interesting study, and I haven't referenced it recently, but I think it came out in like 2012, 2013, that actually looked at marine source, so fish source omega-3s, and its impact on depression, though I don't have the study in front of me. So, because typically when you think about omega-3s, where do they come from? And you think they come from fish. Now, again, this is one where you can test. It's one of the tests that we do functionally in the office. It's a finger prick. It's a blood spot. You send it off, and it lets us see the exact amount. LA, ALA, EPA, DHA. So it looks at the omega-3s versus omega-6s, trans fats, the ratios between, because it's huge for inflammatory marker, neural developments, you know, those essential fatty acids, and they're essential because your body can't create them. They need them from nutrients. And if they're not getting them from the nutrients, then you have to get them elsewhere. So what does that look like? So if you are vegetarian or vegan from a standpoint of like ethics, then there is oftentimes a marine source of algae that you can take that has some of that omega-3s for you. Because again, you can do flaxseed oil, and like there's tons of other like sources of omega-3s, but the problem is that they're not the EPA DHAs. So if you're not, and you just don't want to eat fish, you don't like the taste of fish, that is one, then you have to start looking at a good quality source of marine fish-based omega-3 fish oils, right? If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. Now, the last one we're going to talk about is protein. So it is very common that because vegan and vegetarian diet is so carbohydrate based, that you don't see as much in terms of adequate protein. Now, I don't know. I feel like this is the most controversial of that. You know, I talk to vegans or vegetarians and they say, oh yeah, I know I'm deficient in B12. Oh yeah. But you say you're deficient in protein and they're like, nope, I'm getting all the protein I need. I'm not deficient. There's so many great sources of non-meat protein. And that's true. You can get protein from grains. But again, grains are carbohydrates. Carbohydrates turn into sugar. So what we really have to talk about are there are 21 different kinds of amino acids that our body needs, where 12 of them are ones that we can be produced naturally in the body, but 9 are considered essential amino acids, just like essential fatty acids. And what that means is they're essential because you have to get them from the food that you consume. You have to get them from the food that you consume. So when we talk about why amino acids are so important is because they're the building block. they are the building block for muscle growth, energy. And that is one of the reasons too why, like, for example, pregnant women, they say, hey, in your first trimester, you should get 80 grams of protein because, hey, you're building this whole other human. And so we need building blocks for those. There are the 9 that we really look at: leucine, isoleucine, methionine, phenylalanine, threonine, tryptophan, lysine, histidine, and valine. But here's really what, can you get those sources from plant-based or grains? And the answer is yes. But they are not complete. So animal products like beef, fish, dairy, eggs contain enough of every one of those essential amino acids. So they're considered complete proteins. However, most plant sources of proteins are too low in or missing one or more of these essential amino acids. Therefore, they're considered incomplete protein sources. This is not my opinion. So, for example, grains like rice are too low in lysine to be considered a complete source of protein, right? So what do you do? And this is always my first question is, why are you not eating meat? So if you're not eating it because you don't like the taste, then this is one where I encourage people that you can actually look at properly sourced, so our whey protein, for example, grass fed, there is no casein, which is typically people say, I'm lactose intolerant. Usually they're actually casein intolerant. It's a protein that's in milk that causes sensitivity. Its structure is similar to gluten. So ours is casein free. It only has whey concentrates, no isolates. Isolates are like the dirty filler protein. That's why a bunch of the cheap proteins like, we have delayed isolates. And you're like, we take out casein and isolates. It's just not great. It's only sweetened with the stevia. There's no artificial colors, flavoring. So ours is vanilla and chocolate. There's like no birthday cake or special apple pie. When you look at it, it was a hard transition for my husband. He was not vegan or vegetarian, but he was using a very horrendous source of protein, which I'm sure tasted way better because it was full of chemicals and artificial sweeteners. And he really likes the vanilla whey protein. If you don't want to do whey, then we've got bone broth protein, but those are full and complete sources. So if like you make smoothies, you can add those in. So at least you're getting at some point throughout your day, a full essential load of protein in the proper quantities too. If you are vegan and not willing to try any of those things, then really what you have to pay attention to is you actually have to do more math, because we kind of get sucked into where you say, okay, I do a lot of rice. For example, that patient who just did rice and rice and rice and rice, which is fine. But again, you are concentrating or on one incomplete source of protein. And over the course of time, when you see more of those essential amino acid deficiencies, this is where we really start to see more of those health problems. We kind of get sucked into things that we like and we don't branch out to the other regards. So it's like, yes, you're eating a leafy green salad and you're having beans and lentils. And the problem with that too is really what was interesting is that when you look at for calcium, there are actually like beans or lectins can actually become anti-calcium based. Like it actually inhibits your body from absorbing calcium. So we've got this like big complicated cycle, but that's one where pay real attention to, like, if you are focused on a certain source of protein. And that's soy. Soy is one that we're like, oh yeah, I do all this soy and soybeans and soy burgers and soy tofurkey and like all this stuff. And the problem with that is that especially in postmenopausal women, soy is can mimic estrogen. And so unfortunately, there are a lot of estrogen-driven cancers that we see. So I tend to have individuals steer away from soy. So hopefully that's helpful. So four things just to wrap up what we talked about. B12 is one of the most common deficiencies. Calcium, omega-3s, and protein. So if you are a vegan, if you are a vegetarian, those are four things you really want to pay attention to. If you need to do more functional medicine testing to see how deficient you are, what exactly your body needs, we can look into that. But really being able to say, hey, here's what's going on with you, and here's how we are going to make sure that from a nutritional component, you are as full as possible, living the lifestyle that you desire. So if you have more questions, give us a call. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, or you can always reach out to us online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Thanks so much for tuning in. I look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.